Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. Hello and welcome to the Wide Stream. My name is Mark Leslie Lefebvre, and I am in the virtual studios with Bradley Charbonneau, who's still hanging out in North America.
So crazy. I'm still here. I'm in a similar time zone. So fun.
It's like you like being back home again. When was the last time? Sorry, when was the last time you were actually walking around on North American soil?
You know, it's been 3.5 years. I thought it was 1.5, and then I'm like, oops, it was 3.5. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's fun to be back.
Wow.
Especially in the South where there's like sun and blue sky. I know.
Oh, I know. Wow. We are talking today. The topic I have written down is, it says audiobook to podcast, or vice versa, potentially, right? Let's talk about that. So let's talk about that concept and how that works.
Yeah. I think the very first idea to tackle is the audio files. And then we get into stuff like rights management. And do you have the rights to your audio?
Right. Now,
me and sometimes Mark, nonfiction authors, I, as a nonfiction author, also want to record my own audiobooks because I am my brand. My voice is my brand. Very important for nonfiction authors, especially in sort of the, you know, not memoir space or something, although memoir would be good. So that's my own voice, my own file. I have all the rights to it. I can do absolutely anything I want with it ever, forever.
So this is because you haven't signed, because some of my nonfiction books are signed to a publisher who did acquire audiobook rights, in which case I have no control.
Exactly. So this is why we're backing up here before we get into all the fun things you can do with audio is, what are your rights? And if we back up even more, and you're thinking about, gee, I was going to do an audiobook, or I was thinking about it, please, pretty please, think about the rights that you're giving away. And what are you giving away? And are you giving away the farm? Are you giving away certain things? What do you have and what can you do? So I think that would be the first. If you haven't done an audiobook, and you know, whether it's your voice or not, just, do you have the files and what can you do with them? I think that's just crucial.
Okay.
So let's just assume here, because this is going to be a really short conversation, if you don't have rights to anything, because then the answer to the question of what can you do with them? Nothing.
Yeah.
So let's say you have rights, and let's just pretend here you can do absolutely everything with it that you want. Great. So now it gets fun, because, and again, I'm making some assumptions here that are, you know, not necessarily valid for everyone, but let's just say that you do have your audiobooks published elsewhere, because then we get into stuff like ACX. You know, I don't even know what that stands for. Do you know what that stands for, Mark?
Audiobook ACX. Creation Exchange. Yeah.
Look at that. That's the Amazon arm. It's the Amazon company, fully owned by Amazon. It is Amazon. And that's their audiobook world, their audiobook company.
Yeah, that feeds Audible. And actually, it does still feed iTunes, even though it's an Amazon property.
Right. Oddly. So that's where. And then correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but they also have, kind of like KU, ACX has some exclusivity stuff going on.
Yeah,
right?
they actually give you slightly better royalties when you're exclusive, but you're locked in for 7 years. And
yeah,
look at what has changed in 7 years in the book industry. Like, audiobooks themselves have grown dramatically, and so many things have ebbed and flowed.
It's
7 years, a long time.
It's a long time in this industry. And so
Wide for the Win didn't exist 7 years ago.
No. Wow. Yeah. So I don't know all the details, but let's just say I'm not a fan. Because again, what we're talking about here, I mean, what are we all about at Wide anyway? We're about going wide, distributing wider than exclusive deals that are, you know, may or may not be your best option. So again, I'm on to like assumption number 14 here, but I'm getting there.
Okay.
So So now let's say that you're not exclusive with ACX, and again, you're allowed to do whatever you want. So for example, and I think, Mark, I think this is one thing you have done. At its simplest, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I'm just going to give an example of something I have done. I have uploaded several of my books. I have the audio files, super easy, in a podcast medium. And in podcasting, it's very simple to future date your podcast episodes. So I took it was a 52 chapter book, which worked out perfectly because I did one a week for a year.
Yeah.
And if you think about the workload on that, if you get a little handy with your podcast tool, whatever you use, you get into this rhythm. And at first I thought, oh, I'm going to farm this out. Oh, I'm going to do this later. I'm like, you know what? I am cranking here.
Yeah.
I think it took me maybe 2 hours, and right. I'm uploading a file, giving it a title. I've got to give it a cover. If you want to get fancy, you want to give it a description, give it a snippet, right? So I don't know, what's that? 5 elements times 52?
Yeah.
It took me a few hours. But think about this. I have now consistent content for 52 weeks a
You
year.
Serialized it over the course of
yes.
a year, and it only took
yes.
you, let's say it takes an author 6 hours or more
right.
because they've never done it before. So it's going to be a bit slower. So you spend 6 hours and suddenly you've serialized that content and you have consistent, repeatable content every week for 52 weeks or 32 weeks or however many chapters.
Whatever.
You do. Yeah.
Right. So Jeff, I'm trying to keep it simple here for the moment because I'm going to get fancy in a minute. But so at its very simplest, I took the audiobook file, I uploaded it to the podcast company, I gave it the title, the cover, the whatever, the metadata, which
right.
is super important, by the way. And then I serialized it over many, many weeks. Now, to get a little fancier, you could, and Mark, you were talking about this earlier with like the intro and the outro. So there are tools. You'd think I'd know the name of it. I can't remember the name of the tool I use. I think there's a lot of tools that I can batch process. You know what? I will remember the tool, and I will put the link in our show notes here, Mark.
Okay.
You can batch process. I took 52 files. I say, here's my folder of 52 files. I pre-recorded a little intro and a little outro because I'm saying
it tagged them
hey,
on for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please
so,
share that link.
Yeah, I'll share the link. So I say, you know, whatever. Hey, because if it's just, you know, if the audio just starts off and some random person comes in and says, it says, chapter 22, you're like, what book is this? Who is this? I just landed on this haphazardly.
Yeah.
Where in the world am I, right? So my intro says something like, hey, Bradley Charbonneau, this is the audiobook XYZ. I hope you enjoy it, blah, blah, blah. And also, I'm not dumb. I say something like, hey, this book is going to be, you know, over the course of 52 weeks. If you'd like to not wait and you want to get the book, go to, you know, blah, blah, blah.com or something like
and
that.
And you can purchase the book. Yeah.
Exactly. And then at the end, I'll do a little outro. Hey, thanks for listening, blah, blah, blah. The next chapter is coming in a week. And again, if I want to be salesy about it, I can say, hey, if you don't want to wait or you don't want to listen to this over all the course of weeks, here's the link. And then now I'm going to get a little fancier again.
Well, before you get fancy,
go ahead.
Because you're talking about a nonfiction book, but some authors might be saying
yes.
One of two things, I'm a fiction author, or B, I have a traditional deal. Because I have a friend here in Canada, Terry Fallis, who's a humorist, and he is working with Random House Canada, who have published his books, and he has read the audiobooks because he has the equipment at home and everything. And the humor is best done in the voice of the person who knows the jokes. Kevin Anderson was talking about that, with me recently about like the Dan Shamble series is even if a professional narrator doesn't kind of hit the punchline the right way, you know, it's like,
right.
Clayton
super
on Cheers when he went on the Tonight Show and Johnny Carson delivered his joke wrong. And then Cliff's mom came down and made him do it again because he didn't. Anyways, so I'm aging myself again. But anyways, but what Terry did is even though the audiobook was going to be available, let's say September 15th from Random House Canada, he started the audiobook about 12 weeks in advance, week by week, as a free podcast with an intro and some music. And hi, this is Terry Fallis, and this is blah, 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 blah.
It.
And then at the end was saying, And the book will be available September 12th, 2000, whatever. And so it was creating marketing buzz. And then there were
Oh,
people like me.
perfect.
I started listening to the podcast, but the minute the audiobook came out, I bought it because I wanted to listen to the
Wow.
whole thing.
Perfect.
So again, fiction, and
Perfect.
even he did get permission from the publisher to do this. So
Yes.
he couldn't just go and do it. He had to actually have in the contract the ability to do that. So just saying, you heard Bradley talk about nonfiction, but if you're a fiction author, or even if you're traditionally
Yeah.
published, it doesn't mean you can't do that with the right paperwork in place.
You know, I'm glad you brought us back to fiction, because I know I think in nonfiction a lot. The fiction, let's say it's the fiction, your fiction book, read by a narrator. Great. If you are a daring fiction author, one thought could be you, dear author, do your intro and outro. And you could introduce, hey, here comes, Jonathan Summers, who's reading my fiction book. I hope you enjoy it. I'm the author, Jojo Jojo,
You've just given me
right?
that great idea. I can do that with because I do have a professional narrator for my fiction titles,
Awesome.
and I can actually
Awesome.
have, "Hi, it's Mark Leslie, the author. You're about to hear Scott Overton read the voice of Michael Andrews in the
Yeah.
Canadian Werewolf series. Chapter one's coming up." And this is what Terry did is last week, summary. It's kind of like,
Oh,
the
wow.
recap you get when you're streaming TV shows and stuff like that.
Yes.
You're like, "Oh, I haven't watched this in a while. I want the recap." Oh yeah. And then the recap usually includes some important elements that are gonna affect the show you're about to hear. So
This is so good. Oh,
yeah.
I love this. I never thought about doing a recap. Okay, but now you're talking about like individual uploads. But
Yeah.
again, if you're thinking about this,
You can do it in one
what's
day
this going
or
to take you?
52. Yeah, one day, like you spend.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. But again,
Wow.
so you were going to get complicated now, because that was the simple
Yeah.
thing, right?
Okay. So to go even wider than the wide. But now, and again, you're assuming you have the files, you can do all this stuff, right? So I'm just going to give an example of something I do. As a wide author, my favorite place for a buyer. So I love the listeners on the podcast. We'll talk about this in a minute, but I also do the audio up to YouTube. That we'll get to that in a second. But where my dream scenario is that they buy the audiobook directly from me, right? We talked about ACX and Audible. I think. Again, I'm trying to be nice here, but what do I get? 20%? It's such a small number. Let's call it $10. Do I get two? I mean,
And they
is
set the
that?
price too. You can't even control the price.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you using
So
Bookfunnel then to deliver the
yeah,
audio? Okay.
that's gonna be my big secret, because
Yeah. Oh.
using Findaway, I was gonna tell the secret, but Findaway gets me to all over the place, not to mention libraries, which are a fantastic place. I love listening to audiobooks in libraries. And for the record, for any listeners, audiobook listeners thinking, oh, I don't want to go to a library because then the author doesn't get any money. Incorrect.
Not true.
Authors do get money
Yeah.
from libraries. In fact, it can be quite good from a
Well,
library.
actually,
So
that's how I learned the cost per checkout method through libraries, is I was earning money on library book audio sales through Findaway on the cost per checkout model. Every single time someone checked it out, I got a little
wow.
bit of money. And that
Yeah.
actually little bit of money added up to way more than I would have got had I sold
Yeah.
a single copy to the library.
On that note, that's a fantastic, it's kind of win-win-win sales tactic, right?
Yeah.
Hey, dear potential listeners out there, please, pretty please go to your local library, because also, and Mark, you're the library specialist, but as far as I understand it, okay, I put my audiobook up on Findaway. And it's going to be available in the libraries. Yay. But that available being the key word doesn't mean I go search at my, where am I? Austin, Texas. My
Yeah.
Austin, Texas public library. I go search Bradley Charbonneau every single day.
No.
It may or may not come up. And in fact, Mark, before I go guess here and what happens, how does one's audiobook get into a library system?
So typically, a library, an acquisitions person at the library, depending on the size of the library, there's different roles. Smaller communities, it's like one person shop.
Yeah.
They go to the various wholesalers, like Overdrive, which supports the Libby app, et
Right.
cetera, like Hoopla, like Biblioteca, like BorrowBox outside of North America. And
Yeah.
they will either acquire, purchase that book, put it in the
Okay.
catalog, and they'll do it based on demand from customers. Especially the customers are asking for Bradley Charbonneau's book,
That's the
they
key.
go, "Oh, let me see if I can get it." And they go, "Oh yeah, I can get it from whatever." And then they either do a outright purchase or they do the cost per checkout, which means they don't purchase it; they bring it in the catalog, and then only if customers take the book out do they pay. That's
Wow.
a very simplified version of how libraries
Yeah, yeah,
acquire
yeah.
audiobooks.
So you said based on demand. So let's say, is there something I could do as an author to try to
Yes.
help my potential listeners
Well,
get my book into the library?
one of the things I do is at the end of my author newsletter, I have a little button that says, "Yes, it's free." And I said, "If you want to get any of my books in print, ebook, or audiobook, request them at your local library," because the library does have access to the ebook, to the
Nice.
audiobook, and to the print book, all available through the various wholesalers and distributors that we use as indie authors. And meaning anyone who wants my books can get them for free from their local library. They just have to ask.
Wow. And then to reiterate, if you get the book for free, that doesn't mean the author is not paid.
Yeah.
So it's really a win-win-win.
And
The library's happy.
if you're an author outside of the US, you actually get additional revenue based on the public lending right. So Bradley, I don't know if you qualify as a Netherlands author, if you actually have an official status, but that may be something you should look into for the Netherlands. Since the Netherlands is a huge, gigantic global reader loving community.
It is. They're all 18 million of us.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So to finish up on my fancy pants thing, because where I would really like them to go, where I am going to get, and I'm talking purely money here, but if you ask me, because I often get this, I'm like, Bradley, I love your stuff. What is the method or medium you would most prefer that I use? I'll do whatever you want, right? And I'm going to say, oh, thank you, dear reader listener. What I would most prefer is for you to buy it direct. And then I'm a techie geeky guy, right? If you give me MP3 files or something, I'm going to upload them into my whatever and I'm going to make it all work. But I hate that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to just give somebody. What I really wouldn't want them to do is give them a single file with a, 3-hour audiobook. That would be torture. That
Oh
would be
my
terrible.
God, just the download time.
Exactly. But then also one of my favorite things about podcasts and audiobooks is that I open up my audiobook app again and I'm like, oh, where was I again? Oh yeah, here I am, middle of chapter 9. Play just where I was. It's like Netflix or whatever. So I don't want to give them some files. And this is where BookFunnel comes in. But BookFunnel, if you're not familiar, BookFunnel, they are most popular about their ebooks. They're basically a delivery system. And they take the tech nightmare out of exactly kind of what I just talked about. Like, I don't want to send somebody a file, just like I don't want to send somebody an EPUB file. You, dear ebook reader, you really shouldn't have to even know what an EPUB file is. It's no fun. I mean,
And it
if you're
comes
on
up on
a
an app. I see that little BookFunnel app on my phone, little orange app
There
there.
we go.
There it
There
is,
we go.
ebooks
I
and
see
audio all
Libby
in one
too. I
place.
recognize Libby.
And Libby as well. That's my reading bucket of apps.
Yeah. So the BookFunnel app, so yes, just to continue and to sort of wrap up this entire sort of tech stack here. BookFunnel, and I had a discussion, by the way, with BookFunnel at Las Vegas 2 weeks ago, Mark, because I told them I used to work in naming. And I told him, I'm like, hey, my listeners. They say, hey, Bradley, are you sure this is the audiobook app? It's called BookFunnel. What's that? That doesn't sound like an audiobook listening app. And this is the story I told the BookFunnel guys. And they're like, yeah, we've heard that a few times. And it, maybe down the road we can split it off because they said, well, it's also the e-reader app and the audiobook app. So it's all commingled. But BookFunnel, I mean, that's more of a term for authors, right?
Because we use funnels, yeah.
Yeah. And so I have to often explain to the listeners, yes, it's correct. It's called the BookFunnel app. And that's where you
It
can
should just be a
listen
book
to
fun app, maybe, if it's the book fun app, because readers love
Yeah, there we go.
books are fun.
Chop off that. What is that? NEL at the end. Yeah, that would work. That would work. We just saved them a huge marketing
Yeah,
budget right there.
I'll
Thank you
call
very much,
Damon
Mark.
and we'll talk about that.
Good. So you're buying my book, and I know you can use Shopify. I use Payhip. So you'd go to my Payhip store. You'd pay, just for sake of simplicity example here, you pay your 10 bucks. And then I get, again, with the contrast with the others, and it's all over the map, the amount I would get, but I get, what is it, Mark? It's something crazy like 97% or
Yeah, it's just the credit
90% or.
card processing fee. And then if you back out, as
Yeah.
Deanna, our accountant at Wide for the Win, our CFO, would say, don't forget to amortize the cost of the platform you're using out of the price of what you're earning. So it's probably about 95%, right?
So there we go, 95%. You're getting your audiobook in a fantastic audio. By the way, the BookFunnel audiobook app is fantastic. It's a
It is.
great audiobook app. That's another question I get. Oh, do I have to download another audiobook app?
No.
And well, you do if you're normally
Yeah.
using Audible or Chirp or
Right.
Libby. Yes, it's a separate app. But frankly, this is a nice long-term strategy for other authors who do a similar strategy as I do, because BookFunnel app, you'll now have it and you'll be able to start your library
So
of
yeah, if you
audiobooks
buy
there.
a book from Bradley directly and then you buy a book from me directly, they both go to the same app. So it's very much like having an Audible or a Chirp or a
Yeah.
Kobo or whatever the audio app is
Yeah.
that you're using.
Exactly. And then if you're, Mark and I both being indie authors, more indie authors use this. It's just maybe you haven't heard of it or you didn't know, maybe until you watch this video or listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
But this BookFunnel app, that's what it does for readers and audiobook listeners. And then so you can build your library within that. And of course, and just like I'm explaining here, I mean, in a way, I'm talking, we're talking to authors here. I'm saying here, these are tactics and strategies to use for your audiobooks. And I kind of feel like I'm, even as a listener, we can, as authors, we are also, of course, readers and
Right.
listeners. I
Yeah.
listen to a ton of audiobooks and I try to find the BookFunnel, the people who have their books on BookFunnel, because surprise, surprise, of course, I have the BookFunnel app and of course, I have audiobooks in there,
Yeah.
but it's not common to do what I'm saying, right? And
Yeah.
so, again, to come back to my very first point, I have my outro in my custom chapter on my podcast, and I'm going to say something like, "If you would like to buy my book, here's the link," and I'm going to give the link of my Payhip store, or if you
Yeah.
use Shopify store. And if you want to get, if you want to be really friendly, you can on your Payhip store, on my description for my audiobook, I don't always do it. I could say something like, if you really don't want to use this BookFunnel app, fine, be that way. But you can get it.
Here's a
You,
Genius link or a Books to Read
yeah,
link or something like
exactly.
that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I
If you
like
really
that.
want an Audible or a Chirp or Libby, here are the links. So.
So I love that. And Bradley, I just wanted to add an additional thing for audiobooks as we were talking about
Yeah.
this. So for my Canadian Werewolf series, I have a narrator, Scott Overton, who's done the voice of Michael. But I've done a couple books that actually have a secondary main character where half of the book is told from her point of view. And so I hired Sarah Sampino to do the female voice of Gail. And so when
Way.
Julie, my good friend Julie Strauss and I co-authored a romantic comedy backstory of how the two main characters first met and fell in love, so Scott does Michael's chapters and Sarah does the chapters for Gail. And then when the dialogue happens, because I stole this idea from the Michael Connelly novels, because they have the duet narrators with the Bosch and the Renee Ballard the mixed novels. The
Away.
dialogue itself, I get the narrator. I get them to just record the dialogue from the other person's chapter, and then I edit in the dialogue. Sometimes just remove the tags, and then you hear the other person speaking when they're in dialogue. So here's what happened. When we went to do Lover's Moon, Sarah had just gotten married and was on her honeymoon. So we couldn't release the audiobook when we released the book because we didn't get it back from Sarah yet because it was going to be a couple months delayed, right?
Okay.
So what we did is audio is not just one type. You can have a straight narration, you can have duet narration, you can have multicast, you can have sound effects, you can, oh, there's so many different varieties, just like
Yeah,
paperback,
yeah.
hardcover, large print, all these different print styles.
Yeah.
What we did was a read by the author's version. So we charged
No
$14.99 for the
way.
professionally narrated version, but we did an author read by the authors, where Julie and I actually read Gail I was going to
No
say Scott,
way, I
Gail, and
love it.
Michael.
I love
So
it.
that's available still for $4.99 for the, you know, because we're not professional narrators. Scott and Sarah obviously do a much better job, but it's kind of fun to hear it in Julie and I's voice. But what we did with that as well is we also released it as a free podcast. So we had $5. You could buy the audiobook just to listen to the two of us, or you can, and now that it's all available, because it went over the course of 38, 40 weeks, you can just go and binge listen to the whole podcast for free as well. So again, multiple ways. People can pay $15 for the professional and narrated. They can get it from the library. They can pay $5 to listen to us, or they can listen. Now, when you listen to the episodes, the difference between that and the audiobook is the audiobook. Hi, you're listening to Lover's Moon, read by Mark and Julie. Blah, blah, blah. Bam. And then you get into the whole book, and that's it, start to finish. In the podcast, you have to listen to the intro music and me saying, "Hi, this is Mark Leslie, one of the authors of You're Now Listening to blah, 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 blah." Right? I didn't do the summary, but I just do it. And then there's the outro. So to listen to the whole podcast, you probably have to invest an extra hour of your listening. And since time is money, for $5, you can have the whole thing.
Oh, wow. I love it. Well, you know, and you mentioned multicast. I have not done that yet. And it's one of my next goals, dreams. I would love to do that. Sounds like so much fun.
It's expensive, right? Because you have to pay two different narrators, but you're paying half, right? So if it's an 80,000 manuscript, you're paying each narrator for 40,000 words, roughly. Plus, you are paying double words for dialogue, because the person's just going to straight out read dialogue, and then they sometimes change their voice for different characters, which a good narrator usually does if you require it. But then, so I'm actually paying for that dialogue twice. But at the end of the day, who cares?
I see.
It just makes a nice steady flow, right? So.
One more idea about, so we've mostly been talking about full chapters as full episodes and stuff like that, but you can also, there's so many tools out there now, and you don't need to be an audio editing pro to be able to go get a snippet somehow. I mean, you can do it on your phone. Go get a little snippet, your chapter's, 17 minutes long. Go snippet a little 30-second clip or something like that, and share that with a little teaser. You can even put it on Facebook, or upload audio, Facebook or whatever. And then, Mark, you mentioned last time we were talking, Headliner. I think it's headliner.app, I think
Yes,
is
it is.
the domain. That's a fantastic tool that
And it
will
transcribes
turn.
too.
It turns your audio. It makes a video out of it, and you can go super simple. They've got simple templates and stuff. And it's really like upload, click, and
And
you're
it's
done.
free. You can get like 10 hours a month for free or something like that out of Headline.
And so what you can then do, and in fact, even still on the app, you can, okay, upload your 17-minute chapter or whatever, and then it can give you like little wave functions that have at least a little activity, because then a couple screens later, and you got the transcription, as you mentioned, and then a couple screens later, it'll say, what do you want to do with this? You can, and then you can say, click upload to YouTube or download file. As Mark, you and I were just talking about on our Wide for the Win call, you can download that file, and now you have the actual video file that you can go share, like organically on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, because as we all know, Facebook and LinkedIn and all that, they don't like to take a link and go away from their domain. So you can upload that file up to a place like Facebook or LinkedIn, or click and it's on YouTube, or click it's on Instagram, depending on the length, Instagram or TikTok or whatnot.
Which is just, again, and that's additional sort of free marketing for that audio product.
It's so good to have these conversations, Mark, because when you and I talk and we have different ideas about things, we've got different experiences, and I always learn something. So this has really been great. It's really been good. And it also makes me think, because I can imagine a listener or viewer of our video right now saying, okay, that was a lot. Could you give me a list? All right. I just made a note to what are these strategies? What are some audiobook and podcast strategies? What can I do with my audio files, my audio book? What can I do? Give me some ideas. So I'm putting that on my to-do list for, even if it's just like a one sheet, here are a bunch of ideas that you can do with your audiobooks.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that. And then we can add that to the show notes and drop that over at in the circle group for Wide for the Win so people can easily find it as opposed to struggling through the Facebook pages. But Bradley, thanks for these great ideas and as always, a fantastic conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. This has been great. I as always, I always learn something too. So thanks again.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, was written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.